Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now on WRAL, flames shot through the roof of businesses in downtown Oxford. We're live on that scene with a look at this damage. Plus, former President Trump spent an hour testifying in the fraud trial against him in New York. What he admitted and why the judge reprimanded Trump on the witness stand.
And if you've been outside, you know it feels really warm. Temperatures almost 10 degrees above normal for today, but we can see records later in the week. I'll show you how warm it's going to get.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. And real life drama playing out in a New York courtroom today as former President Donald Trump took the stand in his fraud trial. WRAL's Ken Smith is following what is a tension-filled hearing between the judge and Trump and his attorney, Ken.
Yeah, so far, Jeff, this morning, this can only be described as a verbal sparring match between Judge Engoron, the former president, and his attorney. Now, no cameras are allowed in the courtroom, so we've been getting updates from reporters inside the courtroom. This is video of Trump seated at the witness table before court started. Well, we were hoping to have that video. But Judge Engoron has constantly admonished Trump to answer the questions as opposed to launching into what the judge calls campaign speeches in response to questions being asked by the AG's attorney general. Well, this is what Trump said when asked if he was responsible for preparing his financial statements. Here's what he said. I'm sure the judge will rule against me because he always rules against me. And the judge responds, the comment that I always rule against him, which, as you know, is not true anyway, certainly didn't answer the question. Trump also talked about being aware of the financial statement, saying he felt certain properties were overvalued while others were undervalued. But again, Trump did not answer any of the questions directly. This forced the judge to say this to Trump's attorney. I beseech you to control him if you can. This is not a political rally. Well, the former president is testifying in a high-stakes $250 million civil fraud case that could affect Trump's ability to do business in New York. They've been taking periodic breaks here and there. They're back in session right now. We'll continue to monitor this story for any updates during this newscast, of course, online at WRAL.com and on the WRAL News app.
All right, Ken, thanks for that. We're following breaking news out of Oxford. This is a look from Sky 5 at the flames that tore through a downtown business a short time ago.
And firefighters are still there. They're putting out hot spots in that debris. And WRAL's Monica Casey is live on the ground there in Oxford. Monica, what can you tell us about this fire?
Well, Jeff, Renee, I've spoken with both business owners, and they both tell me that no one was inside of their businesses when this building caught on fire. Right now, you can see no visible flames or smoke coming from the building. Fire crews are still working inside, though. You can see the ladder truck up at that second story window, and debris and charred pieces of the things that were in this building are all over the sidewalk. This scene has shut down Main Street at the intersection with Williamsboro. Sky 5 flew over this building while it was still actively burning about an hour ago. You can see the smoke and the flames coming out of the top there. This building was home to two businesses, the Healing Haven, which has been open for a couple of years, and Ferrer's Jewelers, which just opened earlier this year. The mayor tells me they are working on a plan for a temporary home for those businesses so that they can be open during what is the incredibly important holiday season. Now, quite a few other agencies are also here helping out the Oxford Fire Department. That includes the Corinth Fire Department, Granville County EMS, and State Highway Patrol are also on scene. Jeff?
Monica Casey live in Oxford with details from that. We'll continue to follow it. Thank you.
We want you to take a look at this U-Haul truck, all mangled after its driver led Garner police on a chase.
Right now at noon, WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live with new information about the driver of that vehicle. Chelsea.
Yeah, so according to Garner Police Department, yesterday they received a call about a man who was slumped over in a U-Haul truck on the corner of Garner Boulevard and Highway 401. Let's show you the person we're talking about. They believe that man was Evan Allison. Officers quickly located that U-Haul and attempted to stop it, but the driver took off. They used spike strips to try to stop that driver, But Allison, they say, kept driving several miles after hitting the spikes. That chase ended when the driver of the U-Haul ran a red light at the intersection of Rock Service Station Road and North Carolina Highway 42. Subsequently, that driver crashed. Evan Allison was charged with felony flee to elude, hit and run, and several other traffic offenses. He was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. Now, we should report that no Garner Police Department officers were injured in this incident. Allison is expected here at the Wake County Justice Center for a first court appearance at 1:30, where he will face a judge. We'll have more information on WRL.com and in our later newscasts.
Chelsea Donovan with that brand new information for us live at noon. Thank you. One person is in the hospital after a house fire in Wendell. Our breaking news tracker was on the scene close to Eagle Rock Road. Two people were inside the home when the fire started. The injured man is expected to be okay. The other person got out safely. The fire destroyed that home, and crews are working to pinpoint where it started.
A funeral is happening this afternoon for a 15-year-old boy who died after being shot in downtown Raleigh. Shamar Leverett was shot near Moore Square Magnet Middle School on Monday, October 23rd. He died October 29th. 22-year-old Stephen Stanley faces a murder charge and could be sentenced to death if convicted. Leverett's funeral is at 1 this afternoon at Gethsemane Seventh-day Adventist Church on Sanderford Road in Raleigh.
We're watching for some potential record-setting heat this week, and Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center to show us a very warm trend we have ahead.
It's going to be the kind of weather you want to spend some time outside, and that is exactly what's happening here in Southern Pines at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Of course, it is a Monday, middle of the day, so it's not crowded out there by any means. But of course, you have to sort of change your patterns now that we've moved to standard time. Sunset's today at 5:15, so you can't do a whole lot after work if you work a regular schedule. 74 this afternoon Raleigh, 73 in Durham, 77 in Fayetteville, but that is not as high as it's going to go this week. 66 is our normal high, 74 today, 78 tomorrow, 81 Wednesday, and 80 on Thursday. Especially Wednesday, we are more likely to end up tying or breaking records. 81 in Raleigh compared to 80 degrees back in 1986, and in Fayetteville, 83 compared to 84 back in 1984. The most 80-degree days we've ever seen in November was 5. We have the potential in the near future to see 3. It does look like it will start to cool down a little bit over the weekend. I'll show you when we'll see the next chance of rain.
Elizabeth, thanks. New developments overnight in the war between Israel and Hamas. Just a few hours ago, Gaza's health ministry announced the number of Palestinians killed has now exceeded 10,000. Israeli officials accuse the Hamas-ruled ministry of inflating the numbers. This comes as Israeli military officials release this new video of troops firing on what are said to be Hamas targets. The IDF says this shows combat engineers creating ground access routes for the military by blowing up tunnels and clearing explosive devices. Ground forces have now circled Gaza City. And we're seeing new video from Gaza, smoke and dust rising over the city right now. Israel's military says its fighter jets struck 450 Hamas targets in Gaza, and troops seized a militant compound in the past 24 hours. This happened while U.S. Defense Secretary Antony Blinken made a clandestine visit to the region. His comments on the situation are coming up in our next half hour.
We'll take a look at stocks this noon as we start this trading week. Last week was highest gains that we've seen all year for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's up again, 63 points this noon. NASDAQ is up 25 points at this time. S&P 500 relatively unchanged, up four points. We're getting a look at how hospitals in our area performed on patient safety on a national report card just out. New data from the Leapfrog Group looks at more than 30 data points based on hospital prevention of medical errors, infections, and injuries. Duke, Wake Med, UNC Rex in Raleigh, and Maria Parham Health in Henderson are among the hospitals that scored A's in this newly released report card. UNC Medical Center in Chapel Hill is among hospitals that scored B's. Cape Fear Valley Medical Center scored a C. Granville Health in Oxford is one of only two hospitals in the state that got a D.
Next at noon, Duke researchers discovered some bad news for active duty military personnel and their personal data. That's coming up.
Also, is your neighborhood too loud? How you can tell Wake County leaders what you think needs to be done about it.
Plus, expert advice to help your credit score, the kind of credit cards you do not want in your wallet.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this just in, the father of the shooter who killed seven people at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois last year, pleaded guilty to reckless conduct charges. This in a plea deal. This is the father, Robert Crimo Jr. He pleaded guilty to seven counts of misdemeanor reckless conduct, one for each person that was killed by his son, Robert Crimo. In the deal, the charges were downgraded from felony counts. This means that he will spend 60 days in jail, and he'll get 2 years probation as part of this deal. He also has to surrender any firearms or ammunition that he has, along with his firearm owner's identification card. He sponsored his son's card, which allowed his son to buy that gun that was used in the shooting. A news conference is happening right now.
Michelle, thanks for that update. Researchers at Duke have uncovered some unsettling news for U.S. military personnel. They found that personal information for thousands of active duty service members can be bought from online data brokers. Researchers could buy information on location, including whether individuals worked or lived near Fort Liberty, Quantico, or other sensitive locations. The data could be bought for as little as 12 cents a service member, and there were no background checks on purchases.
Union negotiators say they need more time to review the offer that could end the actors' strike. The major studios delivered a new bid to the actors' union over the weekend. Terms have not been disclosed. However, the actors' union called this, quote, the studio's last, best, and final offer. Studios need to resume production or cancel upcoming TV shows and movies, while thousands of actors have gone more than 115 days without a paycheck. Ford is planning temporary layoffs as a result of the United Auto Workers strike. More than 1,500 workers at its Louisville assembly plant will be affected. The Louisville plant never joined the strike. However, 8,700 employees at a plant that feeds it did walk off the job. The layoffs are only expected to last a few weeks while the supply pipeline catches up.
North Carolina FC are champions of USL League One. They beat Charlotte Independence on penalty kicks in a championship match at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. It's the first league championship for NCFC in its history, and they will leave USL League One on top. The team is moving up a division next season as it returns to the USL Championship League. College basketball season is here. All of our local teams hit the hardwood tonight. 19th-ranked UNC will host Radford in a game that tips off at 7. NC State plays the Citadel at PNC Arena. That also starts at 7. At 9 o'clock tonight, 2nd-ranked Duke will tip off with Dartmouth in Cameron Indoor Stadium. WREL will have crews covering all three games tonight. NC Central has a tall task. They're on the road in Kansas to take on the top-ranked Jayhawks. Campbell will start the season at home against Navy. In Greenville, ECU tips off against Ferrum College.
How Wake County handles noise complaints is up for discussion. Today, county leaders want to hear your thoughts about the noise ordinance. WRL's Laura Levine explains how you can share your opinion.
Right now, we're here standing in front of the Foxcroft community, just one of many communities that will be affected by the changes when it comes to this noise ordinance. Take a look at your screen here. This is a look at some of the hot spots across the county that have had complaints over the past few years. From January through June of this year, the Wake County Sheriff's Office has responded to 381 calls related to noise complaints, more than 5,000 calls since 2018. The new proposed changes to the ordinance includes expanding the exemption for agricultural operations and farming, adding exemptions for public services, construction, airport operations, and sporting events. They also want to include a penalty for violations that aligns with the statutory limit for a Class 3 misdemeanor and a fine of up to $500. And following today's public meeting, which begins at 5 p.m., the Board of Commissioners will have a vote on November 20th. Laura Levine, WREL News in Wake County.
Today's meeting will be held during today's Wake County Commissioners meeting. You can also give feedback online by going to wake.gov/noise.
A burn ban is in effect for 14 counties in western North Carolina because of drought conditions. That includes Henderson County, where a state of emergency is in place as a fire has burned more than 420 acres there. North Carolina Forest Service says the Poplar Drive fire that started Saturday morning is only about 5% contained. It's destroyed two homes and another building. Evacuations cover 34 threatened structures. Firefighting efforts include a scout plane, helicopter, and workers assembling containment lines and protecting structures there. There have been no injuries reported. The cause of that fire is still under investigation. We certainly know, though, it has been dry for a while.
Yeah, we are in need of rain, but it's going to be a while before we see some significant rain yet. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a beautiful view there on the lake.
It was such a nice weekend. I think a lot of people were out and about, you know, trying to enjoy it while we still have it. You know, we're into November now, so, you know, these warm temperatures are not going to last forever. But it is going to be another very warm week for us. And it looks like that as we look forward in November, it looks like November could end up being above normal overall. Yeah, above normal can just mean a few degrees above normal. 66 is our normal high. So even if we average 70, we'd be averaging above normal, which I don't think a lot of us would complain too much about. The only problem that we're seeing is we're seeing very dry conditions as well. So it's been very warm, very dry, and we definitely need some rain. I don't see anybody out there at Lake Gaston, at least in this view, as we take a look from the Point Restaurant. But certainly the temperatures will be nice over the next few days to get out and about. It gets a little bit harder this time of year to get out after work since our sun sets now at 5:15. 74 our high in Raleigh today, 73 in Durham, 77 degrees in Fayetteville. So looking at a very warm afternoon across the entire area. We take a look at Election Day. That is tomorrow. This morning, our temperatures were down in the low to mid 40s, so it was pretty chilly. Tomorrow, we're looking at temperatures about 10 degrees warmer in the low to mid 50s as you're headed out. A lot of the polls open at around 7 o'clock or so expect temperatures to be in the low 50s. At lunchtime, 74, and we'll see a high of 78, so almost at 80 degrees for tomorrow. And you can see, you know, we get to 6 o'clock, it's going to be getting dark, but the temperatures are still really pleasant at 71. So Election Day weather looks really nice. Here's a look at the big picture. This is a look at where temperatures are above normal there in red and below normal there in blue, up around New York and down into Florida. And you can see we're just in the yellow. So we're definitely above normal today. It's going to be about 5 to 7 degrees above normal, but as much as 10 to 15 degrees above normal once we get to the middle of the week. We do have cooler air that starts to filter in across the country due to a front. And we're going to take a look at that front, and I'll show you when we might see some rain and how much coming up in just a little while. Again, our normal high is 66, so we're definitely above that today, then 78 tomorrow, 81 Wednesday, 80 on Thursday, and then when the front comes through, we'll start to see those temperatures falling a little bit. Wednesday looks like the day that we could end up tying or breaking records, certainly 81 in Raleigh, the record 80 set back in 1986, and in Fayetteville tomorrow, on Wednesday, 83, and the previous record was 84 set back in 1984. We take a look at our temperature outlook for next week. It's starting, say, Sunday. Into the following week, we still have a good chance of above normal temperatures, but we fall sort of in between the above and below, so temperatures could be close to normal. Normal, again, is 66 degrees for us, so we may see some cooler temperatures. If you're hoping for a cold winter with lots of snow, we put our heads together, and we have our WRL Winter Outlook that we'll share with you tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't miss it. Me, Kat, and Mike, I'll tell you. You probably have an idea about which, you know, where I would like it to go, but I promise you that we were non-biased. Don't forget, Election Day tomorrow. On Saturday, it is Veterans Day. We'll see a big change once Friday's front comes through. We'll have the potential for some scattered showers. I'll show you how far into Saturday those could linger coming up.
Question, can you be a meteorologist and not be on Team Snow? Right? It's almost
Brian's
like a given. Okay, Brian,
not.
That's true. Brian's the outlier. Tonight, a push to save the North Carolina Theater in downtown Raleigh. The performances are held at Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts. But the group that puts on the performances is struggling to stay afloat. Coming up on WRL News at 5:30, how they're working to save their art.
And on our news at 6, Raleigh considers creating a team to respond to mental health crises. What the city can learn from similar programs in our area and how this version would work. And daylight saving time is supposed to help us save money on our energy bills. Does it? Where new poll says most Americans fall on this topic.
And Taylor Swift outdid herself with the release of her latest album. We'll explain in Money Matters. Taylor Swift tops the charts again, and Tyson is recalling a certain type of chicken nuggets. Those are among today's business headlines with Sabeel Marcellus.
Tyson Foods is recalling nearly 30,000 pounds of its dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets. The recall comes after some consumers reported finding small metal pieces in the food. The chicken nuggets were sold in 29-ounce plastic bags, and the official name on the bags is Fully Cooked Fun Nuggets Breaded-Shaped Chicken Patties. Consumers are now urged to throw them out or return them to the store where they bought them. Taylor Swift's latest album is the best debut ever for the pop superstar. 1989, Taylor's version sold more than 1.6 million copies in the U.S., according to Luminate data. The album is Swift's re-recording of her hit 1989 Work and has quickly become the best-selling release of the year. It also sold more copies in its first week than the original did when it was released in 2014. In 1989, Taylor's version had the biggest sales week of any album since Adele's 25 back in 2015. And those are your business headlines. I'm Seville Marcellus at the NASDAQ market site.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, this is exciting. North Carolina says they've opened a new trade office, or what they're calling an investment office, in Taiwan. This is the ninth operated worldwide. The office opened on October 5th, and they say the purpose is to secure investment partnerships from Southeast Asian companies and organizations. It's located in Taipei, and other offices around the world are located in Canada, Japan, Mexico, Singapore, Germany, Poland, Belgium, and Dubai.
A majority of Americans don't buy the argument that daylight saving time saves energy. 83% of people who answered a survey by the group Payless Power said the time switch doesn't help conserve energy. 16% said their bills actually go up after the time change. Payless Power CEO says that's because Americans prioritize productivity in the evening. Dozens of health organizations showing their support for a federal ban on menthol in cigarettes and flavored cigars. The group took out a full-page ad in Sunday's Washington Post. It read, "The answer is clear. Saving lives starts by ending the sale of menthol cigarettes and all flavored cigars." The FDA proposed product standard on the issue in 2022, and last month they sent final rules on the issue to the White House.
Credit officials say think twice before you sign up for a credit card through your health care provider. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the average medical credit card carries a 27% interest rate. Typical cards carry a 16% interest rate. They suggest asking your provider for an interest-free or low-interest payment plan instead.
There's a new traffic pattern on part of the Beltline today and still ahead at noon. How long it'll be that way and what you need to know to get around it. And the Secretary of Defense weighs in on what it'll take to keep the war between Israel and Hamas from spreading to other countries. Here's a look at your winning NC Education lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Start this half hour like we did right off the top. Our top story, we check back in that fire in downtown Oxford.
Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with a new view of the scene. Michelle.
Yeah, I want to show you some pictures here from Sky 5. This is live footage of that building that was destroyed by the fire. Firefighters still on scene there after they extinguished a massive fire. This is in downtown Oxford on Williamsboro Street. We're hearing that it was a massage parlor and a jewelry store. People said you could see the flames from the window. You can see the amount of damage. The roof caved in. The firefighters are actually inside that building right now. They had to use a ladder to tackle the fire from all angles. Multiple businesses are believed to be impacted. I know we do have crews on the way to the scene. As soon as we know more, we'll bring it to you.
Michelle, thanks. Israel says its troops have reached Gaza's coastline and split the area into North Gaza and South Gaza in its ground operation against Hamas.
This comes as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Turkey with Washington looking to prevent a broader war in the Middle East. NBC's Chris Pallone has the latest from the Middle East.
As Israel conducted what it called a significant operation in Gaza, two Biden administration officials crisscrossed the region trying to prevent the war from spilling over.
We've also had very important conversations throughout this trip with countries in the region on the role that everyone can play in making sure that the conflict doesn't expand, doesn't spread. to other countries.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived in Turkey after a clandestine visit to Iraq and a meeting with the leader of the Palestinian Authority in the occupied West Bank. This as CIA Director William Burns is also in Israel. The U.S. continues to push Israel for pauses in the fighting as outrage grows among some U.S. allies over the unfolding humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza.
We've made some good progress in recent days in working to expand that. Ambassador Satterfield remains in the region working that every single day.
The White House also hoping a pause will aid negotiations to free more than 200 Hamas-held hostages.
It is a huge priority for the president and for all of us to get as many of those hostages home, including obviously the American citizens who are held there, as soon as possible. And we believe that is still possible.
Back in Washington, the Republican House Speaker continues to make the case for tying any additional U.S.-provided foreign aid for Ukraine to increase funding to secure the U.S.'s southern border.
We don't want Vladimir Putin to prevail. We can't afford that. The free world can't afford that. But we have to take care of our own border first.
Despite the Israel-only House bill passed last week, the Senate is expected to take up a much broader foreign aid bill soon. Chris Pallone, NBC News, Washington.
And this afternoon, a discussion of the war in Israel is happening at UNC Chapel Hill. It's being hosted by the UNC Center for Middle East and Islamic Studies, the Carolina Center for Jewish Studies, and the Program for Public Discourse. The event is happening from 4 to 5 tonight in Fetzer Hall. It's open to students, staff, and faculty. The panelists include a professor of peace and war and a professor of political ethics.
Election Day is tomorrow, and WRL is your place for the fastest results on air, online, and on your phone. We have you covered as voters in 22 counties, including Durham, Cumberland, and Wake County, all head to the polls. Voters in Durham, Fayetteville, and Chapel Hill will pick a new mayor. Fuquay-Varina, Holly Springs, and Wendell voters will have to decide if park improvement projects are worth a hike in taxes. Polls open at 6:30 in the morning. They close at 7:30 p.m. Remember, you will need to show a valid photo ID, such as a driver's license or passport, in order to cast your vote. All you need to know before you heading to the polls can be found on the North Carolina Board of Elections website. And tune in to WRL on Election Day as results come in. By the way, we are now less than 1 year away from the 2024 presidential election. Raleigh voters will not go to the polls this year. That's because of a state law passed during the pandemic. It moved all municipal elections scheduled for 2021 to 2022 because of late data from the 2020 census. And it moved Raleigh City Council elections to even-numbered years. So there are no races on the ballot for voters in the capital city this year.
New road work changed the traffic patterns around parts of the Beltline this morning, and Sky 5 flew over that area during our morning news to give you a bird's eye view of the changes. WRL's Kelsey Coffey walks us through part of the new traffic pattern that involves Hillsborough Street.
You may be able to get a look at crews working here behind me. Hillsborough Street is closed in front of the fairgrounds starting today. We're at one of the detours here on Blue Ridge Road. We'll give you a look at a map now. There's two other detours on Wade Avenue and Edwards Mill Road. This closure comes as crews are conducting waterline work. Here's another traffic alert to tell you about. Exit 3 on I-440 West is now closed. Drivers will be detoured to Western Boulevard, then back to I-440 East to access Hillsborough Street. Both of these closures should last for the next 2 weeks. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Also new today for drivers, make a note of new traffic patterns for other I-440 West off-ramps. This comes after overnight work on the interstate between Western Boulevard and Walnut Street. The new alignments include changes to the ramp leading to the Crossroads Shopping Plaza. We'll be watching these areas closely during your evening commute. Look for traffic updates from Mark Boyle in the WRL Live Center during our news starting at 4.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Lee, and Cumberland counties. Get out and walk today because a popular Orange County park will be closed tomorrow. Blackwood Farm Park will be closed Wednesday as well. The state DOT will be repaving NC 86 right near the park entrance on those days. The park should reopen again by Thursday.
In Lee County, don't be surprised if you see smoke tomorrow. The City of Sanford Fire Department will hold a live burn exercise at McNeil Road. It runs from 9 until 3. Live burn exercises are a part of firefighter training.
And the Cumberland County Public Library wants to know if it is meeting residents' needs. The library posted a survey on its website to collect information about customs, interests, and priorities. The survey is part of an initiative to ensure library programming is relevant to people. Anyone who lives or works in the county or uses the library is asked to weigh in.
Vaccines aren't just for kids. Up next, a study that shows an extra benefit to getting your shots as you age. Plus, the CDC may ask you to swab your nose in the airport. What they hope to learn from it, next at noon. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app. The CDC is expanding its infectious disease screening at four international airports. The pilot program will screen international travelers for more than 30 pathogens, including the flu, RSV, and other viruses. It will start at Boston Logan, San Francisco, Dulles, and JFK airports. Participation is voluntary. Right now, the program screens for COVID-19 in seven international airports here in the U.S.
New research suggests staying up to date on your vaccines could pay off in the long term. A University of Texas study found adults who received routine vaccines against shingles, pneumococcus, tetanus, and diphtheria had a reduced risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Previous research found patients 65 and older who get a regular flu shot cut their risk by 40%. Doctors are now working to determine whether the vaccines are the key or if people who stay up to date on vaccines are doing other things that improve their overall health.
A big decline in birth rates could mean trouble for the future of the economy. Data from the CDC shows the nationwide birth rate dropped 23% between 2007 and 2022. If this downward trend continues, experts believe we will see imbalance in workplaces with a higher number of older employees and fewer younger employees. An aging society also would create an imbalance in funding social safety nets.
Fewer active workers are going to have to support a bigger population of retirees. And, you know, if you combine this with the fact that there's rising inflation and more difficulty to access home owning for the younger generation, that's probably going to imply like some hardships for the younger generations.
This could force the government to restructure tax systems. Fewer workers could trigger wage increases as companies try and fill vacant positions, or businesses may start relying more on automated machines instead.
Providing care for older loved ones could be putting a strain on many caregivers' finances. A new study shows one in five adults provide unpaid care for an aging family member. On average, the report says adult caregivers spend more than $7,000 a year from their own pockets to provide transportation, housing, and health care. Some are even taking on new debt to care for their loved ones. The University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing partnered with the TIAA Institute for the Research. Up next, we'll share a new theory that suggests nature had a hand in crafting the Great Sphinx at Giza. And what the Baltimore Symphony is doing to get young people engaged in classical music.
The Baltimore Symphony Orchestra has a new music director. NBC's Joe Fryer shows us how he's making history in more ways than one.
The Baltimore Symphony Orchestra is 107 years old, making music in a city that's more than 60% black. And yet Jonathan Hayward is the orchestra's first black music director.
In one way, I am thrilled, privileged, honored, excited. In another way, it also clarifies that we have work to be done.
He's making history in another way. At age 31, he's the youngest music director at any of America's top-tier orchestras.
The fact that you are so young, what do you hope that does? Maybe in an industry where you find a lot of folks who are a lot older than you, both, you know, who are doing what you're doing, but also who are sitting out here in the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I think my whole belief system is that this art form is for everyone. I will always say that coming to one of our concerts, any classical music concert, can be more exciting than a Netflix series. You know, I believe it. You know, the visceral feeling that you get from a sound of an orchestra narrating through music. You know, there's something that you can't get that anywhere else.
What's the key, you think, to reaching that younger audience, to getting them to feel that and to understand that?
Relatability. They have to somehow relate to these musicians, to these artists.
When a young musician looks at you and sees a young black conductor, what is the lesson you hope that teaches them? What's the most important thing you want them to know?
Anything is possible. The sky's the limit. I think it's important to feel like there are no boundaries, you know. You can do this. And to be a part of that journey is a big responsibility that I don't take lightly.
Beautiful sounds there. And now this. Could the Great Sphinx at Giza have been shaped by the wind? A new study published last week says nature could have helped. It makes the case that the wind eroded the original rock formation. Then it says Egyptians likely saw the potential for a sphinx in that shape and did the rest of the detail work. The full argument is published in the journal Physical Review Fluids. It is a neat shape. It is a unique shape, certainly. I guess I could see the wind having an effect on that.
Just fascinating. And scientists also say that there are deserts in the world right now that have unusual rock formations that kind of look like it could be a seated animal. So maybe if somebody has a vision and they can go, you know, carve something out there, we could have more great sphinxes.
Nature
around
with
the world.
Artistry helping it
That's
along.
Right.
That's right.
It's a collaboration.
That's right. Elizabeth Gardner of the WR Severe Weather Center. We have lots of sunshine. That goes a long way for us right now.
We do. And, you know, the Sphinx has always been a mystery, hasn't it? Or how did they build that? So maybe that's the answer. Certainly a beautiful day to get outside and enjoy. You just have to start enjoying it in a little different way. You know, maybe a little bit more in the mornings, but it's chilly then. Your lunch hour this time of year is probably the best way to get out and enjoy the warm weather that we'll end up seeing for the next week or so. Because, you know, it gets dark at 5:15. Or sun sets at 5:15. It won't get dark until a little after that. Goldsboro looking beautiful and bright. Apex gorgeous. Chapel Hill courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And there is our Fayetteville newsroom there on Hay Street. What will 6 p.m. look like? Well, today we're going to end up seeing our sun setting at 5:15. Winter solstice, it sets at 5:05. So 6 p.m. looks like it's mostly dark by the time we get to the solstice, which is going to be on December 21st. It's pretty much completely dark. So, you know, it is that time of year. Warmer weather in place, of course, all the way through the week. We have a dry stretch. We've had dry conditions for the last several months, really. Our drought got a little bit worse when we had the latest drought monitor come out, and I'll show you that in just a second. Here's a look at our pattern. This high pressure system is going to keep most of the precipitation away from us. There's a front that's cruising to the east, but it'll be moisture starved. We are not looking at any rain here until maybe Friday night, maybe into early Saturday. The models, we've been tracking that front for a while, since the end of last week, and the models have been kind of all over the place. It looked like maybe Thursday into Friday. Now it looks like it's moving a little more slowly. So potentially late Friday, we see some showers, and they could linger into Saturday. The model I'm going to show you here is going to be the worst case scenario. So cooler highs on Saturday and Sunday behind the front. We could see up to an inch of rainfall with the front. We're looking at that potential, of course, as we get to through most of the day on Saturday. And of course, the clouds, we get the clouds rolling there, but not the rain. So we're looking at a quarter to a half an inch. Even if we did see rain Friday night into Saturday, it's not going to be much. A quarter to an inch, a quarter to a half an inch is not going to be enough to erase any of this drought problem that we have. We're abnormally dry now for most of the viewing area, with our southwestern counties at moderate drought. Some of western North Carolina is in severe drought, and over the line in Tennessee, some extreme drought. So the one good thing about this is that this time of year, we tend to move into a wetter pattern overall. We get into, you know, December, January, and February, some of our wetter months. If this was June and we were looking at this sort of drought problem, you know, it might be really concerning. But hopefully we're going to change things up and we'll get back to some wetter conditions in the next month or so. Moderate drought for 51% of the state and severe drought for 10% of the state right now. We take a look at our temperatures for the next few days. We just warm up, warm up, warm up. 74, 78, then 81, 80 on Thursday. Now, Thursday, the record is 83. So it's definitely going to be warm, but we're just probably going to miss it by a degree or two. 22. On Friday, the temperature begins to drop as clouds roll in, and we have a chance of rain late Friday into Saturday. So if you do have outdoor plans for Veterans Day, just keep checking back. Some of the models are a little wetter than others. As we get closer to Saturday, we'll be fine-tuning that forecast.
Elizabeth, thanks. A big change is coming to The Simpsons. Why the show is saying goodbye to a long-running joke after 35 years.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Firefighters in Oxford, they were working to put out a large fire at a downtown building.
It happened earlier this morning. WRL Sky 5 was over the scene as crews worked to put the fire out. Smoke was coming from the two-story brick building. This is on Williamsboro Street, across from the Granville County Courthouse. We're working to learn what caused the fire. Oxford's mayor tells WRL no one was injured.
A man driving a U-Haul truck faces charges after police say he led them on a chase which ended in a crash. Evan Allison was charged with felony flee to elude, hit and run, and several other traffic offenses. Officers received a call about the driver slumped over in the front seat of that vehicle, and they say he kept driving when police tried to pull him over. Allison is set to appear in court this afternoon.
Today, former President Donald Trump is testifying under oath in the New York civil fraud trial against him. He is being pressed about the values of his properties and his role in their appraisals. In the first hour of testimony, the judge repeatedly told Trump to not give speeches in court and warned his attorney to control him, or he may be removed from the witness stand.
A running joke on The Simpsons is coming to an end. For 35 seasons, Homer has grabbed Bart by the neck in the punishment when he misbehaves. In a recent episode, though, Homer says he's no longer going to strangle his son because, quote, times have changed. Fans voiced their thoughts on social media after the episode aired, saying the change is long overdue.
The one chore you always were nagged to do as a kid could snag you a gem of a prize as an adult. The Shane Company of Fine Jewelers will pay someone $1,000 to make their bed every day for a month and explain how the small task impacts your overall feelings. BetterSleep.com says making your bed betters your mood, your sleep, and your productivity. December 8th is the deadline for contest entries.
A dog in Southwest Virginia is hoping his popularity helps him land a spot on town council. A 2-year-old golden doodle named Scooby is campaigning in St. Paul, Virginia. He's running on a platform that includes adding a dog park, pet-friendly dining options, and a doggy day at the pool. Scooby can't actually hold the office if he wins. Virginia law says you have to be eligible to vote in order to serve an elected office. His owner says it's still an effort to draw attention to the priorities of pet owners in that area. Today's pet of the day is a pair of pups right here, Uriah and Upsy, 100% foxhounds. They will turn 6 months old this week, and they are ready to go home with the right family.
Uriah is the pup in the front. Upsy, in the back, has her own set of wheels to get around and keeps up with all the dogs at her foster home. They will weigh about 50 pounds each when fully grown. These pups are house dogs, but they would love a fenced-in yard to get some exercise and could be adopted together to the right home. Contact Love Mutts Rescue to learn more and fill out the adoption application on their website. What a pair.
I know. Upsy and own wheels. Gets around just fine, I'm sure.
Enjoy today's weather. Sunny and beautiful yet again. Mid-70s. I know Jeff will be getting out on the golf course at some point this week.
Right there. Maybe tomorrow.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great Monday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.